Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday. Another Crab Feast for that. Is that Swahili right there? What is that? Pitch touching right out of the gate.
It's like a Disney movie.
Is that Moana that we're watching on Sunday?
Yeah, gonna be Moana. What's up, brother?
Good to see you.
Good to be here, Sickle Sill. Good to be here on Pinterest with you. Feast Nation, all my love to you. Great to be here with you. A couple things coming up. Like I mentioned, my hour special drops October 20th at jlarsoncomedy.com. I'm going to have it available on a number of different platforms, but 100% at jlarsoncomedy.com. It'll be an audio release as well through Audible. That's happening, so keep that marked in your calendar. I'll have a pre-order link up soon, so I'll let you know about that. And then October 6th and 7th, I'll be at the La Jolla Comedy Store. Excited to be out there. And something not official yet, I'm trying to make it happen, October 1st and October 2nd in Boston, I might be there, and I'm going to try and find a spot where I can just do an hour each night of all new material and work out a bunch of stuff with you guys out there in Boston. So I should know more about that by next week's ep, so I will keep you informed. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. Doing a bunch of local shows, working up to record my album, so you can go to RyanSickler.com if you're in and around L.A. You can check me out at those shows. Excuse me. But September 29th and 30th, 4 shows at the La Jolla Comedy Store. Use code CRAB, and you'll get 2-for-1 tickets. Come on out, Southern California. Let's have some fun. Pack it out. We'll laugh. Be a good time. La Jolla is always a good time. It's beautiful down there. And what's more fun than beautiful scenarios and laughing?
Beautiful scenario. Let me get that scenario.
Give me
man.
A scenario.
I'll give you a beautiful scenario right here, my friend.
Well, can I just tell them that for any and all Crab Feast related info, that they can go to thecrabfeast.com and support the podcast with that free way that we've been telling you guys about for so long. Rhymes with Camazon. Merch over there, premium eps, and make sure you follow the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter.
One thing that we've been doing with these guys for a long time, Blue Apron, you should be doing as well. If you don't know and you're just listening for the first time, Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Basically what that means is you sign up, they deliver meals, package, not meals, all the ingredients you need with the recipe, you cook it at home. And I'm going to tell you, I've been doing it for a long time now, and my skills are through the roof. You know what I mean? Like I said to Kate the other night, I go, when do we like bring garlic back in the fold? And she's like, when Blue Apron. And I was like, that's right, because we use garlic, and they do it in so many different recipes. And when I cook, my kids get up on the stool, they cook with me. All the food is beef, chicken, and pork.
Healthy,
come from responsibly.
It's educational.
Come from responsibly raised animals. Seafood is outsourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium. Fantastic. Let me just tell you one recipe on here. Soy glazed pork and rice cakes with bok choy and marinated greens. Rice cakes, bro. Rice cakes. I'm telling you.
Bok choy. There it is again.
You get to go. You get to pick your own. You get to pick what you want. You can set up so you can get a chicken, you can get a beef, you can get a veggie, you can do all the different things you want. All you need to do, go to blueapron.com/crabfeast, okay? It's affordable. For $10 per person per meal, you get a variety. It's flexible. You can change it. You can stop it if you're going out of town. Check this week's menus and get all your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/crabfeast. That's blueapron.com/crabfeast. Blue Apron is a better way to cook.
Very excited to announce a brand new sponsor on the Crab Feast, because football is back and DraftKings.com is part of the sponsorship for the Crab Feast this season. As you know, Jay Larson Comedy over there, being a Patriots fan, myself being a Ravens fan, we're huge football fans. And you've been waiting for this since February 6th. Football season is here, and there's no way better way to get closer to the game you love than with DraftKings 1 week fantasy football. To celebrate, now listen to this, because I'm not going to make an error when I say this. To celebrate, DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 contest this Sunday that is totally free to enter. And here's the part. If you draft the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion. That is billion with a B. I'm not misspeaking. $1 billion this Sunday if you draft a perfect lineup. With DraftKings, there are many ways to play. You can choose between public contests with big cash prizes or private contests where you can compete against a group of your friends. You know the Crab Feast is going to be in this billion-dollar giveaway. DraftKings also has beginner and casual contests where you'll play against people of similar skill level. The best part is you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment. So get to DraftKings.com now and use promo code CRAB to play in DraftKings' free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. And if you draft the perfect lineup, I'll say it again, you can win $1 billion. That's promo code CRAB to play for your shot to win $1 billion this Sunday. The contest is totally free to enter. Why wouldn't you try? DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Tell you right now, nothing feels better than something spontaneous, something that surprises you. I'll tell you, winning $1 billion would feel fantastic.
It sure as hell would.
You know what else would feel good? Someone just sending you some flowers. And you'd be like, why am I getting flowers? It's not Valentine's Day. It's not my birthday. Why? Because someone just decided to make you feel good one day. I did it recently. Pro Flowers, as you know, they've been doing this. We've been working with them for a long time. Fantastic flowers. I sent a rose bouquet that they do, sent it to my wife. Just a little, you know, I sent it to the house. I mean, I live there. It's not like we have separate places. But she was like stoked. She comes home, there's flowers. She's like, what are these for? I'm like, I don't know. I just thought
I'd
get them.
You didn't send her roses. You might be in separate places, play.
You know what I'm saying? People know that.
Pro Flowers.
Pro Flowers wants to help you surprise someone for no reason at all, while also surprising you with a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off any of their unique summer rose bouquets or any bouquet of $29 or more. Their colorful rainbow roses are always a hit if you aren't sure what to send someone. And here's the thing. Just send them to someone to make them feel good. There's so much that's going on in the world today. Getting some flowers from a loved one or a friend or a coworker is a great way to change their day and change their week. Pro Flowers bouquets are guaranteed to stay fresh at least 7 days or your money back. And you control the delivery date. Go on, pick it, send it. To get 20% off summer roses or any other bouquet of $29 or more, go to proflowers.com and use our code CRAB at checkout. That's proflowers.com and code CRAB. Don't wait to make someone's day.
Looking good doesn't need to cost a fortune. 5-4 Club is revolutionizing the way men shop. Each month, they send you a curated box of 2 to 3 items that are handpicked to match your style. They know what they're doing, so if you don't, that's okay. 5-4 Club will help you build your wardrobe 1 month at a time. You get, listen to this, $120 worth of clothes for $60 a month.
Huh?
And you can, I said $120 worth of clothes for just $60 a month. And
you
can,
what?
You can pause or cancel anytime. The thing I like about 5-4 Club is you can go on there and you can pick. I like dark colors or light colors. You can pick, you know, short sleeve, long sleeve. Orioles colors. I like orange and black. Button downs, polos, whatever. Socks. I mean, everything. They have everything over there. Go check out their clothes. Pick what you want. Like I said, you can pause or cancel anytime. And as a 5-4 Club member, you'll also receive up to 50% off items in their online shop and access to exclusive members-only items, free shipping, and size exchanges. Hundreds of thousands of people trust them with their wardrobe, so what are you waiting for? Chris Paul, Mark Wahlberg, they all use 5-4 Club, and 5-4 is featured in GQ, Vice, and InStyle. Go to 5-4club.com right now and enter promo code CRAB, and they'll give you 50% off your first month's package, plus a free pair of sunglasses when you're wearing them
the
right
first
now.
First and first?
First and further than you're wearing the sunglasses, Jay Larson. That's a 50% off your first package at 5-4 Club, spelled FiveFourClub.com. Promo code CRAB, 5-4Club.com, promo code CRAB.
I'll tell you where you don't need a promo code, and that's for this week's episode, because we're free every week.
Free.
Although we should have charged for this one, because it's a doozy. I've known this guy for a long time. I love him. Hilarious comedian. He's got a great podcast. We're excited to have him here for the first time. Dan Cummins!
Dan Cummins!
Welcome to the Crab Feast!
I love it.
Welcome to the Crab Feast, Dan Cummins.
I'm excited, man. I should have reached out. I've always been so like timid to bug people. I get weird in my head. I've known about this podcast forever, but I'm like, I don't want to bother.
We've had crossover fans that have hit us up about getting you on and everything.
Oh, really?
Too. Yeah, we have good fans, and they make good suggestions. But Jay and I laugh because sometimes it's literally taken us a year to connect the schedules for people sometimes just to get them on. So we'll wait you out.
I was saying earlier, Dan and I have known each other for so 12 years.
Yeah.
And like when you hit me up, I was like, yeah, of course. What days are you here? And you were like, oh, all right. Like, people say like, oh, I felt bad asking, but you think I'd come in at 7:30 and could I get out of there and would you have bottle? You know what I mean? Whereas
I was excited, man. I didn't know because we hadn't seen each other in a while. And it's like, you know, I get weird in my head. I'm like, no, he probably, you know, he doesn't barely remember me and he's not going to want to be bothered. And it's like, I get the voices get a little loud. But that was awesome, man.
Yeah,
and,
man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, you guys.
Yeah, I'm checking out your arm there. Is that Idaho on your
That's
arm?
Idaho.
It is. And is that Coeur d'Alene down
there? Coeur d'Alene is the Monopoly house, and then the heart is Riggins, where I grew up.
All right.
Oh, so you knew it when you moved back there a little bit.
Yeah.
So you went back to familiar. Well, we'll get to that in a second. Before we get all into all that, why don't you go ahead and plug your social media, your website, whatever you'd like, dates, podcast.
Yeah, just the podcast, what I'm kind of into lately. And it's just easy. It's easier. It's just Time Suck Podcast across all social media. It's just that handle.
Time Suck Podcast.
Mm-hmm. And then it's just the website, timesuckpodcast.com. But it's been fun, man. Life now.
Yeah, what is it exactly?
It's just a research podcast where it's like I like looking up strange things and just kind of educating myself more. And I kind of realized too that while I was procrastinating and just doing it kind of lightly a while back, like last year I started this podcast, and then I thought it'd be fun just to like justify my own procrastination and try to turn it into a job. I'm like, well, I already like doing this, and I also realized I was kind of reaching an age where I was getting a little less curious about the world, and I just like I had all these surface opinions.
You know what, man? I'm so glad you said that because I'm today I was like, fuck, we need to be doing more, and I'm like, I go right to this place that I like. I was in Pittsburgh and got to go to Falling Water, the Frank Lloyd Wright House, which is like a bucket list of mine. And so I got back, and today I was thinking that I'm like, wait a minute, the Hollyhock House is in LA, which is a great Frank Lloyd Wright house.
Right.
I'm like, boom, look it up. Activity, boom, book it. I come into the living room, I look at Kate, I'm like, I got a date night for us, September 22nd.
That's awesome, man.
She goes, what is it? I go, it's a date night. You don't need to know what it is.
Yeah.
So this is going to come out. I can't tell you guys what it is.
The architecture stuff.
You just don't take the effort. You used to be curious. You're old and settled in.
Well, also, you get used to social media being immediately at your fingertips, so you don't have that adventurous nature so much. A lot of people don't venture out and go explore shit.
Yeah,
and just to dig into like the world. I feel like we're like a culture of headlines, but not articles. You know,
totally.
And so you know, you talk to somebody, and they'll have like a strong opinion. Everybody has an opinion. I feel like right now, especially, it's like, oh man, this guy's an idiot. He's like, and if you just ask why is he? What don't you like about him? Well, you know, it's the stupid stuff he does.
Yeah, you saw what he did.
He did dumb stuff.
What he said.
But what was this in particular? I don't like it.
You know what, man?
Yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. And I realized I was that guy too.
That's today's politics.
Yep.
15 seconds.
And so it's fun to do this. Like, it's a good excuse where I spend probably 20-30 hours of research each week on some subject that I'm fascinated with, and it's all listener suggested. But it's
what's
like
the craziest thing you've researched that you knew nothing about.
That I knew nothing about.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? The Jim Jones massacre. I'd heard the name. I heard the phrase "Don't drink the Kool-Aid."
You're not gonna believe this, dude.
Jimmy Jones.
Jimmy Jones.
Come here, man.
Some of that purple Kool-Aid. Ring it in here, dude. I don't know how in depth you got, but
the crazy. But that was like,
is that Jamestown?
Jonestown massacre.
How many people?
Jonestown. I believe it was around 700.
Damn.
And it was children and families.
Children, families, everything. And it was just so fascinating. We were like, how do these people get to the place where they feel they're just going to listen to somebody? They knew they were going to die. They were given poison. They didn't think it was.
See, I never knew that. They did not know. Like,
oh, they knew
was
for sure.
There.
He was telling them that they're going to die. They'd done like rehearsals basically for this. But what was crazy is like this whole.
Did anyone live?
Next up, Sarah and Tom.
did anyone? A few people, like a small handful of people, escaped. But they had like people armed. He had armed kind of guards in the compound, making sure people didn't just like leave. He wanted everybody was going to die, and then he died last. It was about communism in the end. It was this weird thing where it started off as Christianity, this weird Christian offshoot cult, and then he slowly morphed people into this socialist
agenda.
Was
he rich?
No, he was just he was a guy who read a lot of like Karl Marx and Freud and different things as a kid, and he had all, and he started off. I didn't know this about him. Psychopath, but he had good attention. He was a civil rights activist initially in Indiana. He was big into protecting African Americans. He was big into like advancing their rights, and legitimately was.
Damn.
For a while, and big into Christianity. And then he just kind of got addicted to some kind of speed, basically. Methamphetamines were more legal back then. He got a little paranoid. Mm-hmm. And then he just got felt like he was persecuted by the government. Felt like the government was racist. And he's a white dude, but he feels like the government is always going to be racist. It's always just and he got really into communism. And he thought like capitalism is evil. And but then he also got into molesting his people.
What?
But like the weirdest shit,
I love how you say that he got into it. You know what I mean? Like he's discovered the Rolling Stones.
Knew how.
He just got into molestation.
He's kind of getting a little bit, but like not kids. It was the weirdest thing. He didn't want his members like having sex. He was like, no, it's like a base impulse and blah blah. But then he just got crazy and he started preaching. I was watching a PBS documentary about this. It was hilarious, hilarious. I guess it was hilarious, but so fucked up. And he was,
which is probably what's great about the podcast, because you're gonna bring comedy like dark,
right.
Which is like what we try to do on here.
Absolutely,
it's got a very dark past.
Absolutely,
very.
Well, this guy.
There's no Monopoly house where my tattoo is. Funny.
There's seven.
Just a butthole
from all the
just
places he moved.
But he's telling these guys that they're all homosexual. He starts trying to tell his congregation, everyone's homosexual in the world except for him. This is like where his speeches go to this place. And everyone's homosexual except for him. And all his congregation, they all have homosexual needs. He's not into it, but he understands that they have needs.
So I'm going to help you.
I'll help you out. He's fucking these guys in the ass to help to do it for them.
Right.
He's doing it for them.
They need it. I'm taking one.
And there was this one guy.
Yes. I'm giving him.
Giving him. He's giving them all.
Turn here.
And exactly, and there's this one
guy. I thought I came here just to fucking meet some people.
That's what's so cool.
Well, there was a guy. That's what was funny about the PBS guy.
I got to refill this Kool-Aid.
There was a guy telling and it's hilarious, it was on PBS, but he was like, he was newer into the cult, hadn't heard of this, and he's in a room with guys, and this is so gross, but like he says he's talking to these guys, and all of a sudden one of them goes, hey, you guys, it's not cool that we're not washing up before Father, you know, loves us. And he's like, what? And he's like, no, you know, before Father fucks you, you know, you got to wash your butthole and like wash your ass. And this guy was like,
I'm sorry, guys.
Whoa, huh? Yeah, exactly.
What room was it?
And then the guy was like, I mean, who here has been with the Father? He said, everybody raised their hand except for this guy. And he was like, where the fuck is this going? Like, that's when he left. This particular guy left. That was before they moved to Jonestown from like the Northern California.
Guys, I'm just going to wash it real quick.
I'm
going to wash my asshole real quick, guys.
At my house.
But just like the weirdest.
So that's, I mean.
Weirdest stuff you find in the stories.
I'll be right back. Just wash my ass off, man. No, count me in. I'll be right back.
These are allegedly straight black men in the like 70s in a culture that is not cool with like homosexuality. The mind control this guy had.
The brainwash
to convince them that he needed to fuck them in their ass for their benefit. And they needed to be respectful about it.
I'm the sacrificial lamb here.
All right, hold on
a second, because anyone can just go look stuff up. But you're watching, like, you're reading books, doing documentaries, looking stuff up, going down wormholes.
Yep.
All right, cool.
Yep.
I mean, no pun intended.
And I try and take the best of what I found. Going down buttholes.
Going down wormholes. All right. And you never pick the topics. You always get them from fans.
Yeah, always get them submitted. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes now for the bonus ones, I'll do votes online, like on Instagram. Like the last one was between Heaven's Gate cult, which I'm fascinated with, and then the Iceman, and then MK Ultra, and they picked Ultra.
What's Iceman?
Iceman is he was a mafia hitman at Richard Kuklinski. He was a guy who over like 30 years back in New York.
Iceman cometh, isn't that?
Yep,
the,
yep.
I saw that. Yeah,
Michael Shannon played him.
Dude, I didn't want to say anything.
Fuck it.
Iceman, come in here.
Yeah, Jazz. Slits my throat.
He was a guy that would sit in a chair in an interview and talk about murdering people like I'm telling you
was
about
he in jail
right now.
Yeah.
I think he went to jail, right?
Yeah, yeah, he is. Yeah.
He finally fessed up and ratted them out and
they're like, what about
but he would be like, I shot him in the face. You know, just like it casual. Was nothing. Yep. Like it was nothing.
Oh, Michael, that dude pleaded with me.
He but yeah, he was like I'm just fascinated with those guys where it's like he was liked in the neighborhood, you know, mm-hmm. family man, kids. And that's just crazy to me that some dude is like shooting somebody in the face on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
And then on Saturday, having a little barbecue with the neighbors.
And loving your kids.
Loving the
your
kids,
children.
Man.
I almost said chids.
Hey, chids. Loving the chids.
I switched it up.
Well, you know, everyone is capable of certain shit.
Man.
It's interesting how the human mind can compartmentalize stuff. You know, like with serial killers, they always do that. Where it's like they can just, oh, this is my home life brain. And this is my brutally murdering people in hotel rooms brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, wah.
I can go right back to
just snap back.
Pick up some nuggets on the way home.
I mean, do you ever feel like researching all this shit? You might go to the dark side.
I space those ones out, because I get to pick. Like, I don't do serial killers back to back.
Yeah,
it's too, because then you get this weird mindset. Yeah. Where it's so dark, right. You know, and you're digging in, or even conspiracy theories. I try and space some of those out. I don't even be thinking about weird shit. I try and have a light one. Like I did Marilyn Monroe biography. People seem to like that. Or I'll do the Lost City of Atlantis. Just something goofy.
You
just
know what it is?
Cleanse the palate.
I mean, we're just busy. So do you know what Mentor Box is?
No.
So there's this thing, Mentor Box. These two super successful dudes came up with Mentor Box, and they're like, people can't. They can't read books all the time anymore, and they can't look up this. So if you tell us what your likes are and habits and stuff like that, they give you a mentor box, which is a box of inspirational stuff that's tied into what you're trying to explore.
Yeah.
Instead of you trying to learn everything Lee Iacocca did, it'll break it down, and they'll it's almost like cliff notes for you know. So when people get to plug into a podcast and listen to a funny dude research topics, I'm sure it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's they seem to like the level of research. That's why here's so funny. And it's pressure, because I know that they're very critical.
Because so, and you're not a very bright guy, you
exactly,
know?
It makes it hard.
Yeah,
you know. But you know, actually, on the thing, I do think part of the appeal is I'm not super intellectual. It's not like I'm some Ivy League guy. So I do look at it if I can make this stuff make sense for me,
yeah,
you'll get it.
Of course, yeah.
What were
yeah.
you? What were you like growing up? Were you always in the
homosexual?
Wormholes, man. They get wormholes a lot. I mean, what were you getting into trouble a lot? Were you?
No, I was
always. You know,
I always did well in school, but that just to kind of keep my parents. You know, that made them happy. My parents are very simple. It's if you were doing well in school, that's all they cared about. They didn't pay attention to you then.
Are you happy? Not really. No, you're doing all right.
You don't have school.
Yeah, straight A's.
Oh no, that's happy. It was just literally a report card. Like, he's fine. That was their thing. Yeah. He's fine in school. He's doing good in school. That's all that matters. Just, but I got into trouble, or I was more of a juvenile delinquent early in high school, mid high school. I got really into. We went to Las Vegas. I was living in Idaho. Moved to live with my dad in Vegas.
Oh, really?
And I got real into
explosive split?
And theft. Yes, parents split.
Explosives
and theft.
Remember when they put down the Taj Mahal? That was me.
Wait a minute. No, we weren't good at making them. But we got the Anarchist Cookbook, me and a buddy, and we just constantly were trying to blow shit up.
So wait a minute. Your parents split and you said, I'm going to go live with my dad?
My parents split when I was 7. We were born in Idaho. When I was 2 or 3, we moved to Anchorage, Alaska. Second, third grade, my parents split, moved with my mom
Why
back to Idaho.
Why did you go to Anchorage?
My dad's work, just construction.
Okay.
Just following him around for construction. And then, so now I'm back in Riggins with my mom, and then my dad stays in Alaska for a while, goes to Arizona, eventually makes it to Las Vegas when I'm in junior high, and then I go just decide to live with him in Vegas freshman year of high school.
And so, your mom was like,
she didn't want me to. I just wanted to spend time with my dad. I didn't really see him much for a couple years, and so I just called her at the end of summer break, was like, I'm staying here.
God.
So she was not happy. She was not
was
happy.
Was that tough?
About it. Oh yeah, yeah.
Making super that call's got to be tough, right?
Yeah, super tough. But it's
Rise was different. Rise mom didn't want him.
Yeah,
you're
total opposite.
Total. Sorry, being serious.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up, Dan.
I love the Jedi. Well, I didn't. What? No, you brought it. What?
That's my James Jones right there.
James Jones. James.
He calls him James.
Yeah,
Jim James.
So you get to Vegas.
Yeah, so I get to Vegas, and then, you know, it was a culture shock. There was more people in my class in Vegas than my whole town in Idaho.
And you had already come from Alaska, which probably there were more people than the whole state. I mean,
right.
When I mean, Anchorage. I mean,
Anchorage was way bigger than – Anchorage was a much bigger place than Riggins, where I lived in Idaho. It was 400 people.
That's
it?
400.
420.
That's like a high school.
Oh, 23 kids in my class. 23.
Oh, no wonder.
Name so that's a John Riggins. A lot of people don't know.
4-4 play.
Watch the Redskins, right?
You know it, man.
So then I moved to, I go to Vegas, where.
Why he was, they name a school
at? John the Riggins. Town, man. The town.
That's right.
That's where he's from. He's the one African American that grew up.
He's a white guy, actually.
Is he really?
He is.
Is he running back?
He is.
You know what?
I thought he was,
dude. Hey, Johnny! 44, bring it in,
man.
Bring that in.
Bring the pigskin, dog.
But so Las Vegas had like 650 kids in the class, and it was like
in the class.
Oh, not in the class, in the grade.
Okay,
my grade.
Gotcha.
But it was like total culture shock, and I just kind of ended up gravitating to these two guys who were total delinquents.
Well, because yeah, you're the new kid now.
The new kid, you know, a little late. Be the new, you know, like they already got their clicks set, and I'm the new country bumpkin, and I just ended up hanging this kid, and his mom was never around, and my dad and stepmom were kind of checked out; they were busy with their own stuff. So I would just tell every weekend it was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go spend the night at Chris Friday and Saturday night," and they're like, "Cool." And then there was just me and him with no parental supervision.
Easy. I don't know what my fucking ex has been talking about,
right? And then we would just—I didn't get into drinking, didn't get into drugs, just got into mayhem. Just what can we set on fire? What can we break into?
What kind of shit were you concocting out of this cookbook and blowing up?
Well, we were very bad at it. We mostly just like, you know, set stuff on fire because we get frustrated that we couldn't make the bombs work. But like we tried to make pipe bombs for a long time.
Good God.
We would get this chemical fertilizer and we would like
in Vegas.
You no,
because
like,
nobody's growing plants out there. It's no, like all a cactus.
Right, exactly. But you go to like hardware store, get a bag of chemical fertilizer. Looking back, we just didn't. We needed like a detonator, but we just tried to like.
This got
to
be one of your podcast episodes.
No,
pipe bombs.
Yeah, I actually would like to make one pipe bomb just to have a sense of completion because I tried so hard for so long and couldn't do it.
Yeah,
but and then we would just get frustrated and we would just set like a tree on fire. Or we'd set like a field on fire.
A field.
There was these grids. The apartment complex. It'd be like a whole block, giant city block, would be an apartment complex. Next would just be desert, like sagebrush. So we would just get like hairspray, Aquanet, or WD-40, and just walk along this dry sagebrush and just blowtorch it at night. Because then it would just be more visual, and we get these huge flames going, and then we would just sit somewhere nearby and wait for the fire department to come.
Oh, and they would?
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Psychos, dude. Wait, did you graduate high school Vegas? You did the whole thing there?
No, we went after 2 years in Vegas. My dad actually randomly moved back for work to Riggins, where my mom was anyway. I guess it wasn't totally random. I'm sure he wanted to be close to my sister and stuff, too. And so I ended up going back to the same school in Riggins and graduating high school there.
And did you live with your dad or your mom there?
Kind of both, but mostly my dad.
But was your mom always a little resentful? Like toast was always burnt and shit?
She's still resentful. She's still annoyed about it. Oh, yeah. She holds a grudge.
That's got to be tough.
Yeah, now it's like, it's funny. I finally did call her out. We had a little like, you know, moment of like, all right, fucking knock it off.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid, I wanted to go stay with my dad. Fucking deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, and I am glad it's funny.
Be like, the adult about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And especially being a father of divorced kids now, it's like I'm so much cooler than my parents were. Where it's like none of that I don't put any pressure on them for anything. Just want to try to make it easy on them. My parents, at my second wedding, when I got married again, they finally were in the same room together and not awkward for the first time in like 35 years.
Yeah.
But it's like, let it go.
Yeah.
Get the fuck over it. You know, it's such so childish. But I did finally had it. But I had to have that talk with both of them. I had to tell my dad and I almost got in a physical fight.
How old is he?
He is like 65 now.
He's still ready to go.
He used to fight a lot. I've watched my dad punch people.
Yeah,
like really?
When
you were young or older?
Where?
Young.
What did you see?
Street fight. Literally street fight. Where at an intersection, he's flipping the other guy off in the car. This is in Alaska. Pull up to the red light. He got out of the car and just got in a fist fight with two dudes in the other truck. Like started beating on one guy, but then the other guy came. I remember seeing it as a kid. The other guy knocked him down, and then I remember being afraid because then the one guy had like a tire iron or something.
Jeez. All of a sudden his dad hears,
get that pipe ball!
And then some guy from a gas station went and like, you know, intervened and kind of saved me. But no, he was like, he's a scrappy guy. But yeah, him and he, oh man, I finally had it though with yours. And I was like, dude, I'm like, I will fucking knock you and shut the fuck up about the mom stuff. Enough.
You don't remember what I did in that intersection?
Did he try to step up? He swelled
up.
Oh,
he told me. No, this is over the phone. He said he's going to come up and fight. He's going to come up and knock me around. But then, you know, he's a hothead. He calmed down. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Now we all get along good. Now, you know, just everybody's fucking enough time has passed. Everybody's cool. But yeah, no, my dad's he was quite a hothead for quite a while.
Good
now,
for
now,
him.
Now he's got some fire. He's got some fire in his belly.
Yeah, I love that he finally stoked him down a little.
He's finally cooled off a little. But he is one of those guys, you know. Like it is funny. I feel so comfortable actually snapping in front of him because like he gets it. Like I have a little bit of a temper, and he's like one of the few people in the world. I could like just snap and beat somebody to death, and I think my dad would be like, ah, you know, you shouldn't have said that.
Probably felt good.
Yeah, you feel good, son. Yeah, you feel better. Like right. Everybody else would be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? My dad would be like, nah, man. You know,
I
you gotta
to
get
that
it out
to you for a long time.
You know what's funny is like in my house, it was like. You know, my parents split and he was out of the house.
Okay.
But it was like the stories we heard about my dad's temper, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This horrible thing. And, you know, it was like 5 months ago, Kate was out of town for like 5 days and I just had the two kids. And on one day, I snapped on Reed and I grabbed his head and I go, what do you want me to do? Like, because he kept crying like five different times and he started crying again, you know? And so like, I get him ready, and I get him out, and I have dinner ready for the two of them, and we come in, and he goes, are you happy, Daddy? Which he asks. That's his thing.
Okay.
And I go, come over here. I go, yeah, I'm happy. You make me happy. I love the two of you. I go, but something you got to know about Dad. Dad runs a little hot, bro.
You ready? You said
go,
that to him? That's
I go,
great.
Mom's calm. I go, Dad gets a little excited. He gets fired up. He's got this thing, you know?
Yeah.
I go, that's who I'm going to be. I go, it doesn't change anything I feel about you, okay?
I love, but I was just like,
it came this realization. I mean, he's three, but I had this realization. I'm like, if we're able as a family to make light of it, like there was a story in my family.
If that becomes normal right now, then it's no
not
big
normal,
deal.
But just know that, like,
no, yeah.
But it can happen. It's right. But laugh it off.
Yeah.
There was a story that my mother always told about my dad one time. My sister Kristen wouldn't drink her orange juice.
Sister Kristen?
And my dad poured a pitcher of orange juice over her head.
Over her head.
Yeah. And
Jesus, and
it was just like the outrage of what he did.
Yeah.
And then I was shooting this show and we had like a crew meal and we're all hanging. I'm sitting with one of the producers and we start talking. She's like, oh my God, I'll never forget when I was a kid. My sister didn't finish her orange juice, and my dad took the pitcher and like poured it over her head. And to this day, we still make fun of my father about it, and he's so embarrassed that that ever even happened. And I looked at her, I go, that same thing happened in my family, but we decided to handle it a different way and villainize them, where you guys still make fun of them, and you guys are able to make, you know, it's how you, you know, how you approach it.
No, I love that, man. I know my kids know I'm a weirdo. You know, everybody's a weirdo in the family. I'm trying to think of the craziest thing I did with my kids. There was one time. This is the thing I'm most embarrassed about as a dad, where it's like it was too much. But my son, he went through this long phase of he just cried over everything.
How old?
Oh, too old, I think, to be doing that. Like, he was still like 6, 7, 8, and he's just everything, every tiny little like boo-boo. Like, you know, it's like you can't even see the prick mark, or he thinks he hurt his finger, and just, but like tears always. And I was like, dude, I mean, you gotta stop crying so hard over everything. Like, kids are gonna mock you at school.
Unless you start writing
bullied.
Ballads, dude.
Yeah,
you're gonna
Right. And then one night I was just frustrated. I was like, he had some little owie, and he couldn't even see it. And I'm like, dude, it's mental. I'm like, you gotta like power through. It's like you're deciding to let it hurt you. He's like, no, but it really hurts. I got a knife out and cut my own arm, like to draw blood.
Oh. I did not know where that was going. I'm like, he didn't cut him. Tell me he didn't cut him.
Yeah, no, but I got an eye about it. And I said, look at my face. But I was like, watch me. Look at my face while I'm doing it. Now look at my arm.
Look at me.
Yeah, look at my arm. See, I'm bleeding. You know what? Do I look hurt? No, I'm not, because I decided not to let it affect me, okay? And then my wife was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? She's like, you can never do that again. That was way too much.
That's a lot. Dude, that's one of the greatest things I've ever heard in my life.
But he cries less now. He cries less now.
Yeah.
He's scared as shit around you now. He's like, oh, fucking cut me.
Cut to 26 and he's in therapy. My daddy pulled out a knife.
That's
going
to be it. That's it. You'll be able to trace all the problems
probably
right back to
that
moment. Yeah.
No, that was not one of my finer moments. That was too much. That's too much.
Oh, man.
I stand by the logic.
I do too.
But the demonstration was too much.
Yeah, you went over and did it on
exactly. That's the point. The logic was there. The demo, a little intense.
Too intense. Yeah.
Watch this. Let me get your mother in here. Watch. I'm going to hit her in the face. And you watch how she stands up to this.
Learn the lesson. Learn the lesson I'm trying to teach you.
Oh, my God.
So I want to hear this story about you as a kid, actually.
Okay. Yeah, this is actually like, you know... This is the most embarrassing thing I did. And this is like the weird story where I talked about this on stage randomly, like maybe for the first time a year ago. And until that moment, I had literally never talked about it to a single person, not friend, not like anybody
crazy?
In my whole life.
Why,
no one.
Did you know about it and didn't talk about it?
Well,
or
I knew
just
about
forget?
It. I was terribly ashamed. Terribly ashamed of this. I just thought
you've
I was
never
such
told
a demon.
Anyone this.
Not a single person for like, not, I never told my ex-wife when we were married, nobody for 30 years. Because I was just like, who? What kind of monster does this? Like the lunatic to themselves. When I was a little kid.
How
I was
little?
Five.
Okay.
When I was
Where
a little kid.
Where are you? Idaho?
Anchorage, Alaska.
Okay.
My family would tell me that, like, I went through this phase. I went through this. I went through this phase of.
AK.
AK.
That's Alaska. That's also how we say okay.
Not AK. I went through this phase of, like, being obsessed with how hot things were. So, like, you know, somebody.
Like fire?
Yeah, well,
like a field?
Like exactly. The fire stuck, I guess. Well, when I was little, it was like the stove. It was like anytime somebody would be like, don't touch that, it's too hot. I was just obsessed. I wanted to see how hot it was for me.
Can I just tell you something else that I do? I take my kids over to the oven. I put their hands up to it. I go, you feel that temperature? They're like, yeah. I go, that's heat. You stay away from it. I also take the saw blade in the garage, and I put my son's finger on it, and I rub it. And I go, you see how sharp that is? He goes, yeah. I go, that's why we don't touch it.
Okay.
Because if the fantasy's there of not knowing, you know
smart.
What I mean? That's why
smart.
You're, because you don't know. You're
you
like,
don't know.
Oh, they said it's hot. How fucking hot is it?
Well, if you would have
find out, DC.
If you would have been my dad, I would have never done this then. So I would have had a better psychological experience.
But I probably would have shook your face in the tub.
Well, I remember being obsessed with this electric plug-in heater in the bathroom. And it was like, it had these coils that would glow orange, like an old school heater.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to touch those. I wanted to touch the grill. Like that protected you from the coils. So I'm like, well, how hot can it be? It's protecting you from the hot parts.
The metal grill.
The metal grill.
Yeah.
You know, like the old school metal. And my mom was like, just don't touch the whole thing's hot. Don't touch it. You know, she's like, do not touch it. I remember all this because of this. It was such a traumatic experience in the end. So I want to touch this grill for whatever reason, just to see how hot it actually is. But I don't want my mom to catch me, so I have to have like a private moment with the heater. My mom, I remember this vividly. It's like one of my first early sequences of memories. My mom has given me a bath in the bathtub. She leaves to answer the phone, whatever, go do something. And I'm like, here's my chance. I pop out of the tub. I lock the door.
Here's my chance.
Lock the door.
Lock the door. And I'm like, I'm gonna see how hot this is. I'm going to touch this heater. But then I decided to not use my fingers. For whatever reason, I decided to use my dick to find out how hot the grill is.
My God.
Even worse.
I don't even want to know.
Oh, it gets even worse.
Why?
I'll explain why.
I'll tell you why. Because it's a terrible start. That's why.
Yeah.
It gets
this
worse.
Is. So I decided, but then I also decided. I guess I must have decided that the tip of my penis just wasn't like hot and it wasn't like sensitive enough to test the heat. And to give.
Ooh, I'm getting chills right
oh,
now.
Oh, this is gonna get. Whoa, this is gonna get real
I
bad.
Like this, I really got man. Chills.
This is gonna get real vivid. To give it a little context, when I was a kid for a long time, I used to like, you know, I always had a weird imagination. I used to think of my like dick as like more of like a snake, like a pet. You know, it was like a pet wiener snake that happened to be attached to my body. And the pee hole would be like, you know, kind of logically, I guess, the snake's mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you kind of pinch your dickhead.
Oh, no.
You can open up your pee hole.
Yeah, I know. I know that.
I decided to bite the grill with my snake dick. I decided to chomp it.
Oh,
wrapped around
it.
The grill.
Oh,
and I burnt the inside of my dick.
Oh, the inside of your dick
and
hole.
It hurts so, so bad. And then I have a memory of choking my scream down. I remember I started to scream out, and then I remember just trying to be as quiet as I could.
God, what makes you nut now? You probably had to fucking burn your fucking goddamn face with a hot iron and hold it down.
It was so
let
bad.
Let me tell you, you and your son's crying. Let me tell you, I didn't even cry when I burnt my dick on an electric radiator.
I have to touch an electric fence just to masturbate, you son of a bitch.
I have memories of it burned when I peed for what seemed like, looking back, several years.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
How do you heal that?
I don't know. I never went to a doctor. I never told anyone. I was so embarrassed. I never told anybody.
Years.
I remember crying myself to sleep. I remember I would get worried about the burning. I have a distinct memory of crying myself to sleep because I thought I'd broken my own dick and then I would never have a normal life. I would never have friends.
Well, I mean, I think it's safe to say your life is not
normal. Probably not normal.
That did not turn out normal.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So did you unlock the door and then hop back in
the
tub?
I just tried to like – I don't actually have a memory of that. I don't remember but I know my mom doesn't
know. Probably blacked out after that.
No, I remember. I think the bath was done. I think I just got a towel and I was done. And I can still remember just the pain.
There are people out there driving right now, pulling over on the side of the road.
Well, I remember being worried. Like, I remember being worried if my mom found out that, like, she. I remember being worried that I'd be, like, sent to a home or someplace.
Well, the shame. When you're so little and it's like you're dealing with your private parts, whatever.
Yeah.
Who knows what you think at that age?
Oh, yeah. But I just knew it was like, who's going to understand this?
Right.
You know, because then, if I tell her, she's going to be like, well, how did you burn the inside? Well, you know, I got my wiener snake. And I mean, that's fucking therapy.
Then you
got
to go tell the doctor the same story again and the nurse that's checking in. You got to tell that one over and over
the
again.
The humiliation.
Man. No, he bit it. He bit it with the snake. Not the snake thing.
There was a time where we were, you know, I say lower middle class, and we had a couple kerosene heaters. And I can't get over.
I'm sorry, man, but that's lower than lower middle class. Lower kerosene.
We were in an apartment in a house though. We didn't have heat in that one apartment, so
there was no plugs.
Huh? Well, we used kerosene in there. I'm sure.
So
there
you had to light it with a fucking match.
No. Or a lighter. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we would.
That's hardcore. That's camping.
But you would let.
You were camping, dude.
We were glamping.
Glamping. You were not.
It's a staycation. It's a staycation.
A long term staycation.
But I just can't imagine. Like right now, I would never let some kid, I don't care if they're mine or not, pour kerosene into these fucking heaters all over the carpet and shit. But we were so good with it. We poured in, had the little thing on it. No one would be home. We had to do it by ourselves. We poured it in. Light it up, and then of course, now never ever did I even consider putting my dick on it. But
that's open flame.
We would spit on it all the time. Oh, it had a top. It was open flame inside.
Okay.
Covered. But I mean, it was scalding hot. If you tripped on it, put your hand on it, you'd be done.
Good thing.
Spit on it.
Good thing a young little Dan Cummins didn't move to town. He would have fucking lit that house.
Looking at it, trying to figure out a way to fuck my heater. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I can't believe I was able to have kids later because I had that. And then my mom, we didn't have insurance, and so we never went to the doctor. Like, nothing was good. Like, you'd have to be half dead to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
And I remember a couple years after that, I was back in Riggins, and I had another kind of genital horrific experience. I fell off the top of the monkey bar on the playground. It was like after school, like me and one other kid. Yeah, landed on the bottom bar, one foot on one side, one on the other. Neither foot touching the ground. Just like straight drop. And I think I crushed one of my balls. Because it like, I almost passed out from the pain.
I can't do this,
man. I'm almost about to pass out.
I went to a doctor as an adult for that. And I was like, because it hurt when I run. My ball hurt as an adult. And she's like, well, you have a lot of scar tissue. Like in there.
So you definitely did something.
I fucked. Oh,
and
yeah.
It just healed itself.
Over time. Like, yeah, it just healed itself. So I have like I have a Franken dick, apparently.
God that I'm damn. Like, then when I was 12, John Riggins dove his head into my penis. Dude.
Man, that got me lightheaded. I'm not even going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to lie. That got me lightheaded right there.
Holy you know, that's something.
Yeah. So I had some rough accidents.
Whew. Man.
First of all. That first one wasn't an accident.
The first one was a very intentional experience. Yeah.
But that second
one. Oh, my God. Yeah, I was a weird kid, though. Like, I was just so, looking back, I'm like, how did I fucking live through? Like, I remember getting punched.
Did you play instruments or anything?
Now, I play guitar and stuff. I have, like, as an adult. But never as a kid, I played saxophone for a couple years in band.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just a dumb kid. I remember I got punched in the face a lot. Like, I feel like I got punched in the face an extraordinary amount.
My dad twice.
Right? Yeah.
No, just random kids. But I remember it was always the same experience. I'm like, I got to say something. I got to smart off. And I was a tiny kid growing up. And I would just like smart off to a kid. I remember one time a kid was fighting another kid. And I'm like, well, this seems like a good opportunity to like go tell him something. I don't remember, but I remember tapping him on the shoulder, saying something stupid, and then immediately getting punched in the mouth, and then my mouth filling up with blood, and then walking back to the principal's office. But I have a good four or five different memories in early grade school of just getting whopped in the face.
See, this totally makes sense of why you do what your podcast is, because you just have a fascination with things.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I wonder what would happen here. Yep. But you don't have that little thing that everyone else has, like, maybe just wait a second and you don't need to know.
Right.
What sort of jobs did you have going through high school and stuff? I mean, did you work one job, odd jobs, no jobs? I feel like Idaho, I feel like that's a...
Yeah,
probably some kind of blue collar.
I worked in Idaho. I worked for my dad a little bit construction, but then I worked at a grocery store. I was such a piece of shit. This grocery store, I would steal from the place I worked all the time, not just like food and stuff. Like we would like slice each other's deli meat. Me and this other kid, I went to high school, like, you know, we'd go back to the little deli machine and just fucking mm-hmm. feast on the meat or just normal. But we would steal just like, you know, cassettes at that time, just steal like whatever. And my mom actually got me the job. She was like the bookkeeper there at this tiny little grocery
Shut
store.
Up.
And so I'm stealing from the place. My mom got me a job. I was such a dirtbag. And then I remember like I...
and your mom's putting it together because it's coming.
Well, I almost got caught. I almost got caught because like
down 12 pounds of ham this week.
I would do this thing. I would do freight in the morning, like stock the shelves.
Right.
And I remember like then you have to take the empty boxes out and set them by the dumpster. Well, I would just put shit I wanted into the box. And like whatever, you know, fucking Guns N' Roses. Oops, sorry, Guns N' Roses tape, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I would set a bunch of stuff. And then after, like during lunch, I would just go get my box, throw it in the truck, and then I'd have more stuff. And but then one day, somebody else was getting some boxes to move, and they found a box full of a bunch of shit, and they ratted me out. Like it was such a small town that somehow I can't remember. I heard about it before the store heard about it, and I was like, please, just keep them. Don't say anything. I guess they knew I worked there.
You like salami?
You like salami? I'll give you a lot of salami. Right. I'll give you beer, whatever you want.
Pete and beer, loaf, dude. I got that.
Keystone Ice. I'll make it yours. And but then they ratted me out anyway. And then they knew it was me. So then they call my boss and tell my boss, you know, that like he confessed and everything. And then I just straight up lied to him and my mom. Like, nope, that never happened. I don't know why they would say that. That's fucking crazy. And I just held it so firm that they finally, I think because my mom got me the job, relented. But my mom knew. She gave me that look like you fucking
oh my
dirt.
God.
It was so shameful. But then I was such an asshole that
– Mom saw it on the books. I'm telling you. Like,
probably.
I know who's taking this roast beef.
I've been covering for you.
My son. And then I did the worst thing to this boss. He was actually a nice guy. He hired me. Looking back, he was a good dude. He was getting near retirement. He's an older guy. But, you know, he was always – after that, you know, kind of weird to me. But looking back, like, of course he was. He knew I was stealing
shit
from
him. You kept the job?
I kept it. Yep, he didn't fire me.
Oh, really? My God.
I'm sure it was like a favor to my mom. Didn't fire me. And but then I was such a dirtbag. My last day of work, I just didn't like this guy because he didn't like me. And, of course, he didn't like me because I was a little punk.
I was a thief.
I went – this is so fucked up that I did this. I went down into our, like, basement, cellar, whatever, so no one would see me. And
what's
I just,
the name of the grocery store?
It was called Paul's Grocery at that time. It's called the Mercantile now, I think. It's the only grocery store in Riggins. And I went down in the basement of that, and I drew a picture of this guy and wrote his name. And I think I just wrote something real clever, just like, fuck you. And then literally took a shit on it.
Nuh-uh.
What is wrong with you?
Literally crouched down and shit on the picture I had made of him and then put the shit in his office. But like up high, like he had these cupboards.
And your mom still worked there?
I don't know that he ever found the shit, but I knew he smelled it. I put it up in his office like in a weird spot where he would just be like, what the fuck stinks around here? Like I literally put my own shit in his office.
Good Lord.
I was a savage.
You were
something. That is a savage. That guy just sitting there doing work. Like,
I know.
Damn, weird. Something stinks.
You mop up the
hole cuts are missing. This place smells like shit.
I got to get out of here, man.
Paul's, man.
Where's that retired?
Paul.
Let's get the owner. No, I feel like I'm trying to do like more good in the world now as an adult because I was such a shitty
literally.
Kid for a while.
Yeah.
Literally shit.
Do you even think of like imagine if your kids did this shit?
You know, I do. I think actually because of that stuff I'm
where'd you hide it?
I'm empathetic. Where it's like cuz I stopped like once I got out of high school I was done with all that. I was like what? And then I, you know, was trying to be a pretty good person since.
Yeah.
But like I think it's made me a little more understanding. Like I do have that relationship with my kids. I tell them that all the time, but it's true. I'm like there's nothing that you could tell me that would make me like love you less or freaked out. It's like, and they've heard enough of my stories now. They found on YouTube and stuff. I'm pretty,
how old are your kids?
9 and 11. Okay. And they know their dad's done a bunch of weird shit.
You know, I heard on the Crab Feast, dad shit in mom's old bus.
Heard you fucked the heater
in Nana's old place.
Yeah. You know, I have a weird thing with that. I try to be very transparent though, because my parents were very sneaky.
Yeah,
like I remember as a kid, I remember becoming obsessed with why the divorce happened, and if they would have just said the truth right away, I would have stopped thinking about it. But they constantly tried to throw the other person under the bus and act like they were angelic, and I knew both of them were full of shit. And I found out years later a lot of the truth, and then it just made me mad. And so I've just probably gone too far, even maybe the other way, where I'm like, there's nothing I won't say or won't admit to.
Yeah,
like I try to be a very open book.
That's great. I think that's great.
I
mean,
I hope so.
You're cutting yourself in front of your children. No,
that's too
bleeding,
much.
You know?
That's
no. I was
you're pretty open.
I was the that's same way to the point where I almost thought like maybe I'd ask my mom again. Like, hey, how come like you got full custody?
Right.
There was no debate that anyone like it was.
Yeah.
It was never even I think in like in the sight line that one of us or two of us or any of us were gonna go. I don't any of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then I was like, what kind of truth am I gonna get out of her? 40, 50 years after the whole thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he was, I don't, you know what I mean? It's going to be like, well,
right.
Who knows now? But it was, man, you're right. The more you like hide, the more they're going to, you know.
Yeah, and I don't know where that comes from, that need to present.
Well, your family, too, by the way, you know?
Right, right. It's like, because there's nothing my parents could say that would make me just like completely shun them as human beings. I'm like, yeah, you were young, you know, you fucked up, you know, it's okay.
Yeah,
yeah. We've had a good, we've had a lot of years since, but they'll take it to the grave. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, my family. there's one relative left, and basically, I was telling her. She goes, "Well, I found out that when I tell you things, you can't keep your mouth shut." I go, "What are you talking about?" And she goes, "Anything." I go, "What?" I go, "Just so you know, just so you understand who I am. If you tell me something, I assume you've told it to your children." She's like, "Well, I want you to assume the other way." And I was like, "Jeez." I go, "You understand that I make a living by telling personal shit." "Oh, I'm very aware.
Oh,
you're
no.
totally opposite of the rest of the family.
Let me pull up like track all those 12 kids on your last album."
That's how she is. That's how she is. She's like, "Stop telling everybody everything." And I'm like, "It's too late now. It's all out there. What are you talking about?
Yeah, my mom gets embarrassed about like she was like my first couple albums. Never mind. I think she hoped that my first couple like TV spots. She was proud she could show people. It's more a little more sanitized. Mm-hmm. But then she quickly realized that the album stuff was a lot rougher than like was her comfort level. And now I think she's like she's proud of what I do, but doesn't necessarily share it with people. Mm-hmm. Like. You know, like I've talked about, you know, just drugs or whatever like that, and it's on YouTube now. And there was definitely, like, she's given up now, but there was a period where she's like, "Why do you have to put that stuff out there?" She's like, "It's embarrassing. Why? Why do you need to tell people? They don't need to know."
I ran into Carolyn at the grocery store the other day,
God.
And she told me that you had a snake penis and you bit off a fucking heater.
And there was a box, a crate of your shit in the back you were stealing.
And now it's on me.
she's still doing books at the mercantile?
No, she's at the bank now. She's at the bank. She did get teased one time. It's such a small town. One time there was a joke, but it was like a silly joke where they knew it wasn't real. I was doing some greeting card, fake greeting card thing, and I made some reference to basically like my mom's sweet breasts, but like having like as a kid, like, you know, like, you know, suckle, like she didn't breastfeed me. I can't remember the joke right now, but it had to do with her. I think I said her sweet nips. And and then at the bank, I guess people were coming in for like months. Being
called
like,
her sweet nips.
Yeah, talking about her sweet nips. How are your sweet nips doing?
Shut up.
Mom at the bank, like, stop it, Carol.
That's tight.
Well, there's a couple of things on here. Why don't we talk about this one here?
Oh, God. This is so recent. This is okay, so I moved to Idaho. I bought the house in Idaho a couple of years ago, and I still
Can I ask you what a three-bedroom, two-bath?
Oh, sure.
With a good front and backyard.
Okay, well,
riding mower yard. What is that called?
My house is four-bedroom, three-bath, and a good, like, fenced-in backyard, nice big yard, and it was $315.
Oh.
Wow. Nice neighborhood.
Yeah. Is it like house on top of house on top of house, like that kind of neighborhood, or does everyone have yards?
Big yards.
Forest or trees?
Yeah, there's forest nearby. It's like tucked away. It's a couple houses off of a lake, and then it's like mountains behind, and there's a huge
Your
national
couple
forest.
Houses off of a lake?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
So what, like
go fishing. I walk down and go fishing and stuff.
You swim in that lake?
That lake, there's some, like, people don't, I guess you could, not many people swim in this lake. There's a whole bunch of lakes. There's one that we go like a mile that we take the bikes down to and swim there if we want to swim.
Kind of fish more of a proper beach. Out of that lake.
Perch, smallmouth bass, bluegill.
Damn.
And they do have trout, but they're a little harder to get. But usually just
not
like,
for a real fisherman.
I'm not. Yeah, I gotta get so much better. I gotta get a boat. Hey, I just do it
just
off the dock.
You a hint.
How do you get
Velveeta
better?
Cheese.
Just practice. Cheese. I think knowing like your like where to cast and what lures to use and how to troll in the boat and all that. But it's nice neighborhood and everybody there has been there for a long time except for this one guy. It's like when I moved in, everyone's cool. And then the house behind us.
Do you
is
go
for
around
sale.
And say hey to everyone in the neighborhood?
Yeah, you know, but it's a nice kind of vibe of like. People are friendly. Like, if you need something, you can go to them for sure, and they'll help out, but they don't bother you. Everybody kind of like leaves each other alone, but like friendly, but like they're not intrusive. They're not showing up all the time, mm-hmm. which is the vibe of the neighborhood is great. But then this guy Chuck moves in. His backyard bumps up against mine, and he just like is the guy like if he sees you in the yard, when he first moved in, he's got to like talk to you about some bullshit, very whiny and complaining. Just not like literally the first time I met him, I remember I went back in and told my wife, I go, Chuck's gonna be a problem.
Yeah.
Like my vibe immediately, I go, Chuck's gonna be a problem. And she's like, no, he's fine. I'm like, you wait, you watch. He's gonna be a problem. I can just feel a bad energy with this guy. Well, and he's real just kind of like pushy and stuff. And I have he likes to stargaze at night. This is how we set up the confrontation. He likes to sit. He built a little fire pit, and he likes to look at the night sky. He moved up from Orange County, and I think he was just, you know, had these visions of Idaho and outdoors.
Oh, but, so he's from down here?
Mm-hmm, yeah, he's from down here. And and then I have a tiny little porch light on the back of my house that I turn on so I can watch my dog go to the bathroom. So I like to keep an eye on her. I'm worried that she likes to go after deer, and I'm worried that one of these deer are going to kick the shit out of her. She just, you know. So anyway, I keep an eye on her. That's why the light comes on. Every once in a while, I forget and I leave this light on. It is not even a 60-watt bulb. It's like a 43-watt energy saver.
43-watt?
One of those weird ones, you know? It's a soft white light. So yeah. It's not putting out a lot of
a glow. You
know, lumens or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like his yeah. fire pit, the fire is putting off more light. But he becomes, I guess he becomes, because he yelled at me, he becomes obsessed with this light. Somehow it's ruining his whole stargazing experience. And he just yells at me one night. And he just,
how
like,
close is his house to yours that this light's bothering him?
Exactly. I would say the fence... between the fence and the back porch is a good 150 feet.
Damn.
And then his fire pit is further than that.
Okay.
So it's like how this is bothering him, I do not understand. And why you just couldn't turn around and look in a different direction, you know, so the light's not right in your line of sight. But he just yells at me one night, just, you know, Dad, you're leaving the light on. You're leaving it. You can turn on the light. It's kind of making it hard to see the stars. Like, he's making this big fucking deal about this light. And I think it's weird. But this is the first time he's done it, and so I was like, oh, okay. I mean,
how many nights is he out there?
All during the summer, like every night.
Yeah.
Every night. And so I'm like, okay, all right,
Chuck. That's what he moved there for.
That's what he moved there for. Totally. It's his thing. So I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't realize it bothered you or whatever. And he's like, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it makes you kind of like, you know. Just...
Fuck you, Galileo.
Yeah.
So you tell him next day.
So I try to make an effort to turn off the light. But then I'm talking to my wife, and I'm like, you know, like, what is, why, who does that? Who even complains?
I told you
Chuck was going to be trouble. But then I think it's over. Maybe a month goes by.
But that's the first time, and that's how he introduces himself, basically.
No, we had talked a few times before. First time, he was a creep, I thought. First, this is my first introduction with Chuck. He goes, literally first time I talked to him, he's in his, during the day, he's in his backyard, I'm in mine, and he goes, hi.
You're not going to believe where he is right now.
Oh, good, man.
Chuck, Chuck, Chuck.
Bring your telescope, man.
Oh, my God.
I think the big difference shining in the night, baby.
Bring your telescope. So...
got the Hubble set up out back.
There's some major looking mining with that fucking light in my eye playing. Come on now.
First time I meet Chuck, this is how he introduced himself. My wife is a little younger than me, like 7 years, but she looks more than that. So, but and I only say that to set up what he said. He goes, he goes, hey, I'm Chuck. He goes, I see you. Is that your wife? Comes out in the yard sometimes, or is that your daughter? Yeah. He's like, he's that guy.
Oh, yeah, that's creepy.
That's out the gate. That's my first impression. I was like, nah, that's my wife. And he's like, oh, you know, well, yeah, no, that's good for you, man. Good for you. Like, almost like the wink thing.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, dude. So, not my favorite type of dude.
People say that to my wife all the time.
Oh, really?
About me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when they see him.
Ah, nice. But, like, about me. But, so then he yells me about this, and he wasn't, it's like he was trying to be confrontational, but I just didn't like that. Now I got to worry about about how long I leave my silly little bulb on, or I'm going to get yelled at by Chuck.
Yeah.
I just think I would just never do that if it was reversed. So, but I forget about it. Well, maybe a month later, he yells at me again. Second time, you know, now he's like, Dad, you believe in the light? We talked about the light. And it's just kind of snippy.
At night when
at
it's
night?
Lit?
He's just, you're just hearing a voice. He's a not voice. Walking up to your door.
Voice in the darkness. You know, I'm coming out thinking that I'm just letting my dog go to the bathroom. I'm tired. I've had a nightcap. It's like 10:30, 11 at night, and some fucking dude is yelling at me. So then I'm like, oh, all right, Chuck, man. All right, man. I'm trying not to leave it on, you know. But, you know, it's if it's on sometimes, you know, whatever. And he's just kind of like, well, you know, it kind of ruins the vibe and fuck all this nonsense. And it just annoys me, his tone and everything, but I don't confront him then. Well, then this is what made me snap. So then like maybe another month goes by and my wife and I are in the living room. My dad had actually come up. So actually my wife, my dad, and I, my wife and I just got home from a movie. My dad was coming up to stay for the weekend and we pour some drinks. I let the dog out and we're just like enjoying like a nightcap, you know, in the house. All of a sudden a strobe light is like hitting my window. I don't know what it's him.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, it was the weirdest thing. Like a white aggressive strobe light.
I kind of like Chuck, man.
Chuck's trying to send you signals. Literally.
Oh yeah. Literally. And at first I'm just confused. I'm like, is that, like the police? Is that, like an alarm maybe would kind of do that, like a fire alarm thing? And then I'm like, what? So I walk outside, immediately get yelled at the second I step outside. Dad, I'm talking to you about the light. He's standing at the fence line, holding it over the fence, beaming a fucking strobe light at my house. And I just, I didn't like him anyway. This is the third time and I lost my shit and I just scream
fuck
at him.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's like 11 o'clock and I'm like, Chuck, you need to shut the fuck up about
damn
the lights.
Right.
I go, I will leave this light on all night, every goddamn night for the rest of my fucking life if you can't keep your mouth shut.
I'm gonna have to change your bulb every once in a while.
Right. During the day I will have to exchange the bulbs. But like he comes back at me and he yells, he goes, yeah, well fuck you, Dan. And that's when I went like just psychotic on him. I lean forward, you know, on my porch rail and I go, fuck me, Chuck. I go, no, fuck you, motherfucker. And I actually said this. I go, you keep pushing things. I go, you find out how far I'm willing to fucking take
this. Ask my son what I do to myself. Yeah.
No, but I actually said to him, I go, I'm not the guy you want to fuck with, Chuck. And then I just stared at him and he got like genuinely scared.
Well, you're also under a strobe light.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Right? You gotta look a little scary.
You're moving real slow, but it looks like it's fast. Yeah.
Oh, and then I just did this thing where it's like, he starts to apologize.
Oh, he's scared.
You got him.
He's scared. He's scared. But then I'm like, I'm very my adrenaline's going. I'm real worked up. I do have
that.
A temper.
You got the
I'm like
power
fired
now.
Up. But
his
also,
wife inside's like, oh, I'm gonna go out there. And his father was like, let him go.
Oh yeah, my dad was watching the whole thing. My dad just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And he actually came out with me. She did not. And then Chuck starts to apologize. And I don't want to take things even further. I don't want to give him an out either. And I was so proud of like kind of what I came up with to do. I decided to stare at him quietly and I would just kind of shake my head sometimes and smile like, I'm going to fucking kill you in your sleep. Like I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to incriminate myself, but I'm going to stare at you. And it was just like, I got to like psychologically just break him down. Like I bet it went on for easy a solid minute of him just starting to say stuff like, Dad, I don't know what we're doing, man. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have shined the light in your house. That was too much, man. I'm not your enemy. He's saying all this kind of stuff. Nothing going back at him. I just stare at him, just keep shaking my head. And then he just kind of like whimpers down. It's like he didn't know how to take.
Really love your podcast, man.
but then he just,
heard you on the crab feast, but I'm sorry about this, man.
He got more and more awkward. He's just like, damn, I'm sorry. I don't know what we're doing. And the whole time, just nothing, just shaking my head. And then I just left him. I just walked in the house and left him with that moment.
Damn.
Good
just,
for
you know,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Left
cold,
him
baby.
Well, then my wife, she was like, the whole neighborhood thinks you're a fucking psycho now. Like, we haven't been there that long. You know, she's like, you have to apologize.
Wait till I turn the front light on.
Yeah, she goes, you have to apologize to the other neighbors. So, like, we're not ostracized.
Because they all heard that?
Oh, yeah, because I was loud. I was, like, screaming at him. You know, I snapped. And then it was like, I love the culture there. I love my other neighbors. Next day, I go tell my neighbor, Jim, just to kind of apologize. So I'm like, hey, man, if you heard that last night.
Fuck, Chuck.
Absolutely. He goes, Dan, he goes, this is actually what he said.
If I was your neighbor.
He goes, you don't have to apologize for shit. He goes, Chuck should have never yelled at you about the light. And he said, he doesn't own the whole goddamn neighborhood, does he? And I was like, no, he does not, Chuck. No, he does not. And then, swear to God, a couple weeks after that, Chuck put his house up for sale. I fucking bullied him.
Shut up.
Out of the neighborhood. Yeah. Oh, no. And then after that, well, every time I saw him in the yard, fucking death glare until he looked away. And he, like, genuinely seemed scared and then put his house up for sale.
St. Orange County, man.
Well, that's not
I'm done Irvine.
I'm just moving two houses over, man. I got a better view of the stars, man. You fuck a fire pit up.
Did he stay in the town?
He's trying. No, he still hasn't sold the house. We did actually just recently
put a bid on it?
Have one more interaction. Oh, my God. Actually, I have a buddy from Santa Monica who I think is going to move up later in the year. Like, yeah. His family, they came up to visit, and they love it. And I would love if they moved in there. That'd be the best.
Yeah.
But he finally—
Well, would it? I mean, what if he's in the stars too, man?
What if Dayton's in the stars? Yeah, no, Chuck, he finally, like, when he realized he couldn't sell the house this summer, he's going to try and sell next year, then I think he knew he had to deal with me for a while. So he planted a bunch of shrubs to block the look of each – we can't see each other over the fence, light. Which is great. And then he did apologize to me. Must have been embarrassing in front of his wife because he goes, hey, Dan, this is our only other interaction since. He just goes, you know, we're not gonna be able to sell the house. I'm sure you saw the sign, you know, this year. He's like, we're going to be here for a while. And, you know, I don't want to – you know, keep having this animosity or whatever. He's like, I'm sorry. He goes, I'm sorry about that. He's like, I shouldn't have yelled. He goes, you know, I'm not going to be a problem. And I go, well, I'm not going to have a problem with you as long as you don't shine a fucking light into my window ever again. And he was just like, I know. I threw it away after that.
I threw it away.
Yeah. He goes, you looked embarrassed. And that was it.
I returned it to Spencer's.
I returned it to Spencer's. I took it back to Hot Topic. I took it back there.
That's where you got a strobe light Spencer's back in guess. My day. Spencer's Gifts.
That's still around still?
I don't know. I think there's
so.
Still a few of them
couple
out there.
Couple C malls out there.
Couple soldiers yeah. left out there, yeah.
I feel like a Des Moines or a Peoria might have a, yeah. like a Spencer's.
Yeah. We had like the Woburn Mall, which was like a trashy mall, and they probably have one still.
Yeah.
If they're still around.
You go to the back to see the posters and the fucking chicks in the bikinis and stuff.
Yeah. You remember like the big, like at Kmart and everywhere, like the big folding rack
yeah.
of posters?
Yeah, and they would all slam together.
Yeah.
If you had them too far, you push them over here.
Yep.
Like
heavy, yeah.
I'd always be looking for Heather Thomas and that pink bikini from Fall Guy. I'd always be looking for that.
Nice.
Samantha Fox.
Samantha Fox.
I was a Kathy Ireland guy.
Oh, yeah. Kathy Ireland,
liked
too.
It. Yeah, I love Kathy Ireland. Yeah.
I was
yeah.
never mad at her.
Wasn't
you know?
She the field goal kicker in that one movie?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. As good as it gets?
Oh, my God.
I don't think so either.
I feel like Sinbad.
What is that?
It,
that's right. That was like the one movie she was in at the height of her Sports Illustrated cover
somebody
fame.
Somebody be like, hey, assholes, this is what it was. I want to hear this one, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you share that story?
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, okay. You guys ever worked with a comedy magician?
I haven't.
Have you? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, like done like a weekend with them or something?
No, but I mean just a comedy magic club.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
I have a very good buddy, Derek Hughes. If you know Derek Hughes,
I know.
Actually,
I know his name. I haven't met him though.
I took Kate to the Magic Castle.
Oh.
Derek got me on the list to come in that night on our first date.
Oh whoa!
Yeah, Derek's a super great guy. Super great guy.
Why I like some magicians now. Actually, I did a time talk on Houdini that made me kind of come around. I was like, oh, he's a cool dude, you know, cool magician. But earlier in life, nothing but shitty magicians. I just didn't like them.
Yeah,
because especially like comedy magicians, and I worked with a lot of like D level, you know, or saw comedy magicians that weren't. Like, they weren't funny enough to just do comedy and weren't good enough at magic to just do magic.
I mean, that's it, isn't it?
It's a comedy. And there was a guy in Houston. I did this. I don't even know if the club's around anymore. I think it was just called Laughs Comedy Club or the Laughs Spot. Maybe I think it was the Laughs Spot. I think it's a dead club. But it was in Houston. And this guy that was featuring for me was Jimmy Fingers. And he was like, which is, again, I just love the name, Jimmy mm-hmm. Fingers. And like a parody of a comedy, like if you were casting a movie and you wouldn't
I'm
be like,
Dan Dickel. How you doing, Jimmy Fingers?
Dan Dickel and Jimmy Fingers. And he literally had like a silk shirt. He had a mullet, you know, like way long after people have been making fun of mullets for a long, long time. He still has the mullet.
And he's your feature, so you got to get up after this.
I'm following this magician, and it wasn't that hard. He wasn't great. He would do some tricks, but he, you know, a lot of silly, really corny. But he would close every night. This is the hardest I've ever laughed. I'm probably a terrible person for when you find out why I laugh so hard.
Well,
but like,
we already
know that.
Yeah,
okay. Okay. So he would close every night on this one, which I guess is a fairly common magic trick for kind of these level magicians, where he would have like Dixie cups upside down, and he would have these little wooden squares with knives sticking up. So let's say there's five knives, six cups.
I've seen it where they slam it down.
Exactly.
Okay,
that's exactly the trick. Right. He would show the audience the knives, and then he would put all the cups down, and then he would move them around according to their whims. It was like a mentalist thing. He's like, so which one, you know, which person were you with? I don't know. He'd have all these questions that move around. And then at the end, he would narrow it down to two cups, and he would literally just let them pick. He's like, he had some kind of system where they would pick the cup, and then he would slam it. And then, you know, magically, and then he would undo the other one and show this knife.
Did he have the thing where, like, you picked the one on the right, he's like, all right, then I'm going to hit this one on the left, depending on the show?
I think, like, the way he did it, it's, maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention, but it seemed like he always did it the same way.
Okay.
And he must have had some system.
It's like their Russian roulette.
Right, yeah. right. So he would slam damage. Well, I assumed the whole time that these knives as a failsafe were like fake knives. You know, I wasn't really checking his stuff. I just assumed that if he messed up, yeah. You know.
It's not easy to travel with knives either.
Right. And he was a local guy. He did live there. And then so Saturday night, I watched this, I don't know, four times now or something like that. And or three times. And then so he's doing it like the fourth time in front of me. And it was his closing trick. So I knew I had to go back and get ready to go on stage. I'm watching from the back of the room. And he slams his hand down at the end. And he fucking impaled his hand. That knife went all the way in, all the way into his hand. Not quite through, but like it must have been close. Like it was, he pulls up, like the thing is hanging from his hand. Blood is.
You don't see me crying, do you? You don't see me crying.
He didn't cry. To his credit, he didn't cry.
That's the trick.
He didn't cry. But he starts bleeding a lot. But what was. This is what was funny to me. He starts bleeding and then he's like, oh God. He's like, ah. He's been misdirecting these people for 25 minutes. Oh. No one gives a shit.
No one's buying
it. He's bleeding and they don't buy it. They're just like looking at him like, where's the?
And he's a magician comedian.
Right.
Blood looks real. He's
hilarious.
I laughed. So I fell on the ground. I was laughing so hard in the back of the room because it was so surreal. It was a room full of people being like, I don't get it.
Did
like,
you go out and address that?
Yes. Well, so he's because he's such a professional. To his credit, he realizes they're just confused and they don't buy that he's actually hurt. He gets one of his like silk
give
things.
Me
he pulls.
Give me your napkins.
He wraps scarves. His hand up his scarf. Yeah, he wraps it, ties
did
it up.
Did he take the knife out?
Took the knife out.
Did he pull it out of his mouth first.
takes the knife out.
He's not a clown.
Like wraps up the wound and then does another fucking trick. He does some like backup trick. He does like pulled a fucking rabbit or dove or one of those
bloody rabbit right here. Everybody, it's got blood all over its head.
Later in between, he went. I think he had to go to the ER the next day just because some stitches. But he did that weird like glue stuff you can do to temporarily seal. But like, what was funny? So he does another trick. Like two more minutes, he's on stage. I go up and I just had to explain to the audience. I'm like, do you guys understand what just fucking happened here? That wasn't part of the act. He just bled.
It's a crime scene.
In front of you. Like, and then he cared enough about his craft like to do another trick. I'm like, he cares so much more about what he does than I do. Like, I remember telling the audience, I'm like, if after a joke that doesn't work, one of you comes up and fucking stabs me, show's over.
Show's done, man.
I'm leaving town. I'm never coming back to Houston. Like, that's it. But this guy,
he's never going to type again.
He regrets. Yeah, but that was crazy. That was like, it was the funniest
that's
thing.
Nuts.
Just that moment of... this man in front of 250 people bleeding and all of them just being like, eh, no. A
guy named Fingers
I don't
fucked
get it.
Up his
Jimmy
hand.
Fingers Jimmy almost Fingers slices his
Jimmy
hand.
Fingers.
One yep. of his, I've tried to see if that guy's still out there. I think there's a couple YouTube videos of Jimmy Fingers.
All right. Well, I mean, we were going to hold out to the end.
I can't even believe it.
Jimmy! Bring some cards in here, play.
In that top hat.
Look, man, we're there, man. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this.
Thank you guys so much for having me, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
this
that
is
was
great, dude.
I was honored to be on the feast, man.
Yeah, it's long overdue. Will you please one more time promote your social media, your website, your podcast, whatever?
Yeah,
you like
yeah.
To.
It's just Time Suck Podcast across all social media, and then that's also the website.
Nice, man. Go check that out, and then you know they can see you live if they dates off there.
Yep, yep.
You know, it's. Dan's a very exceptional comedian, so
thanks,
go check
man.
Him out. I mean, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Terrible but neighbor. But
terrible
great
neighbor.
Fucking comedian.
And go check out his podcast as well. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.